Logan Sevey adds winged races to an already packed 2024 schedule. Kyle Larson's high limit midweek title hunt comes to an end already. We've got an update on the fencing situation at Riverside, including pressure from some big players and more today. Let's go. It's Tuesday, April 30th. I'm Justin Fiedler. This is Dirt Tracker Daily presented by Kubota Genuine Parts. Later this week, things get going in a big way at Eldora Speedway with the World of Outlaws and USAC Sprint Cars set for two nights. And for those of you headed to Eldora, that means another opportunity to visit our friends at the Whistle Stop Bar and Grill. It's located just 7 miles south of the racetrack. Don't forget, they also have a sister business located in downtown Greenville, Ohio, called the Sure Shot Tap House. Sure Shot Tap House is a 46-tap self-pour facility featuring domestic and craft beer, ciders, seltzers, bourbons, and wines. They also have a self-serve cocktail machine that complements their amazing food menu. Venture upstairs to the Bullseye Game Lounge, which boasts duckpin bowling as well as 24 arcade games, making Sure Shot the ultimate destination to eat, drink, and play all under one roof. And new this year, they'll be running buses from Eldora to Sure Shot on the Fridays of all major events. The trip includes a buffet, a $15 pour card, swag bag, and much more. Visit SureShotTapHouse.com/events for more information on this great day trip. Thanks to the Whistle Stop and Sure Shot Tap House for their support of The Daily Show. When the World of Outlaws Sprint Cars hit Jacksonville Speedway tomorrow on Wednesday, you can add a USAC champion to the list of expected entrants. It was announced yesterday that Logan Sevey will join Landon Simon Racing for probably something like an 18-race schedule. That is with the wing on. That will include races with the Outlaws High Limit and the Maverick Wing Sprint Series. When we talked about Sevey getting his late model opportunity back in February, I told you guys that Sevey had another winged deal in the works to add to his USAC Triple Crown attempt, and now it's come to light here. So almost 100 USAC races, plus something like 12 late model shows, and now an additional potentially 18 sprint car events. We'll see if he adds more to this with Swindell Speed Lab. Remember, Kevin Swindell told Area Auto News earlier this year that they were looking at some wing stuff with Sevey, and Jordan Swindell tweeted a while back that the car could come out sometime mid-summer. Swindell's obviously deep in their Victory Fuel business. Sevey has only made scattered wing sprint car starts throughout his career, as he's focused more on midgets and a lot of the non-wing stuff. In 2023, he made four 410 starts that included two with High Limit, one with the All-Stars, and the first ever Maverick show. He had a best finish of ninth. He actually did that twice with High Limit at Kokomo, plus the Maverick race at Lincoln Park. Sevey has run winged cars before at Jacksonville. He last made some stops there in 2019. He finished third there in a MOA race that season. This Jacksonville show tomorrow could very well end up having a very healthy field of sprint cars. Remember, too, we're going to see the 410 sprint car debut with the World of Outlaws for Brandon Shepard there. Jumping back to last week, the fencing and safety situation at Riverside International Speedway was in the spotlight after that wild night with the High Limit sprint cars. If you remember, we had Tim Crawley knocking some fence down in turn one, and then Brian Bell completely threw it not long after that in turn three after riding the wall. It was clear to everybody watching that things there need to improve if they're going to continue hosting big time sprint car shows, and that includes the World of Outlaws that head there later this year. I heard a rumor that there may have been a call from the Outlaws to Riverside in the days since about addressing the situation before October, and Brad Sweet commented about it publicly yesterday. In a new episode of Flow Racing's High Limit Room, safety was a main topic, and Sweet came right out and said the fencing there was not adequate. He said they had a conversation after the race with Riverside's owner Clayton Allen, and that the track needs to, quote, make some improvements with some cables and some things to hold the fence in place. Sweet brought up the Outlaw show and said he knows WRG will be looking closely at everything and that the changes need to be made before High Limit returns in the future. You would hope that things like this could be handled ahead of racing, but hopefully this was enough of a wake-up call for things to change, especially since we got lucky to avoid anything terrible actually happening. I do like what I'm hearing, though, from Sweet and potentially WRG if the rumors are true. We need those at the top of the sport to use their resources, use their influence to make real improvements in areas like safety, especially at a place like Riverside. I know they've taken a beating after the High Limit race, but I think it's important to point out they have made upgrades there to things like the wall. And with the racing we saw and the fan support, there's no reason why this can't remain on National Touring Sprint Car schedules in the future. We just can't have fences that effectively don't do anything. The other note to come out of that High Limit Room show is that Kyle Larson will not be able to chase the full High Limit Midweek Championship in 2024. Through two events, he was already in a hole in that title fight, down in 15th in the standings. He is currently 66 points behind Corey Day, who's won the first two races. Coming up at the end of May, the midweek schedule has a Tuesday night show at Grandview Speedway in Pennsylvania, but Larson will have to miss that race because of NASCAR commitments. There's a Goodyear tire test happening at Iowa Speedway that day, and Larson is participating in it. Iowa is new to the Cup Series schedule this season, so you can see why that would be important for not only Larson, but Hendrick Motorsports as well. Even with the deficit, Larson could have gone on a heater and climbed back into the fight, but missing a show will now put him too far behind, especially with how good some of these other guys have been running. As long as the weather cooperates, High Limit is scheduled to be at 81 Speedway tomorrow night, with two nights at Lakeside coming up this weekend. Next up, I've got a neat story from Atomic Speedway promoter Charlie Vest and race director Dave Andrews. They put together a 410 sprint car that they will be taking around to local area high schools there in Ohio that have automotive classes. They're going to allow students to get hands-on with the car and learn how everything works. Their first stop will be May 10th at Canton South High School in the automotive program that they have through the South Star Career Academy. Hopefully, we'll see some race fans created through this and maybe some future drivers and crew chiefs as well. It's a great way to give back to the community and share racing with the kids. Hat tip to those guys. Before we close out today, I've got some interesting numbers for you regarding Devin Moran. I have Lucas results in the database at dirttracker.com/analytics going back to the 2020 season. So far through 17 races this year, Moran has his worst average feature start since that 2020 year, but has his best average feature finish to date. Moran went on a hellacious run down the stretch of 2023 to sneak into that Lucas Championship battle and then nearly won the damn thing at Eldora. If he continues like he's going right now, though, no late season charge will be needed. He's solidly in the mix, and it's all thanks to these big charges that he's doing come feature time. He's leading Lucas in feature plus minus at the moment. If you don't know what feature plus minus is, it's the positions that you gain or lose, really, from the start of the feature to the end. And he's at or near the top in two other key stats that we track. They are top five and top 10 value finishes. This stat basically tracks how often you get a good finish when you don't start well. In these first 17 races, Moran has started outside the top 10 nine times and has converted seven of those to top 10s and five to top fives. That includes charges of 23rd to 6th at Ocala, 20th to 10th at Alltech, and 18th to 5th at East Bay. And then this past Sunday, he went 13th to 5th at Port Royal. If that double down team can get him starting just a little bit better, there could be plenty more wins in the cards here for Moran. All right, that's it for the show today. You do have some streaming options this evening, so make sure to stop by dirttracker.com/watch tonight to see the daily schedule. Hope you guys have a great Tuesday out there. We'll see you right back here tomorrow.